You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 1989 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is an evening lecture given by Brother John Warner, titled, Provoke One Another.
Thank you, Peter, and I particularly enjoyed that translation, as we'll make some reference to it at a later time. But I thought that the title, which is directly from the King James, was appropriate, and you might even say it's provocative. It is the theme of the Bible school, and I thought it would be helpful if we put it up in the front so you could see it. I thought it was appropriate, with the history of the Christadelphians, to talk about this subject. It is, as I said, the Bible school theme for the week, and certainly to provoke one another has been a long tradition. There's some rich material on it, and I wasn't able to immediately find all of it, and nor do I think all of it would be appropriate tonight, but I did find a tremendous excerpt that I'd like to read from another book, which I think is very stimulating and worthwhile. It begins by saying that we were exclusive, brother. A branch that believed in keeping itself pure of false doctrine by avoiding association with the impure. Some brethren assemblies, mostly in the larger cities, were not so strict and broke bread with strangers. We referred to them as the so-called open brethren, so-called implying the shakiness of their position, whereas we made sure that any who fellowshipped with us were straight on all the details of the faith, as set forth by the first brethren who left the Anglican Church in 1865 to worship on the basis of correct principles. In the same year, they posed for a photograph, 21 bearded gentlemen in black frock coats, 12 sitting on the stone wall, 9 standing behind, gazing solemnly into a sunny day in Plymouth. United in their opposition to the pomp and corruption of the Christian aristocracy. Unfortunately, once free of worldly Anglicanism, these firebrands were not content to worship in peace, but turned their guns on each other. Scholarly to the core and perfect literalist everyone, they set to arguing over points that to any outsider would have seemed very minor indeed, but which to them were crucial to the faith, including the question, if believer A is associated with believer B, who has somehow associated himself with C, who holds a false doctrine, must D break off association with A, even though A does not hold the doctrine to avoid the taint? Well, the correct answer is yes. Brethren, however, occasionally felt that D should only speak with A and urge him to break off with B. The brethren who felt otherwise promptly broke off with all of them. And goes on into some detail. But the footnote I thought was appropriate, and I'll conclude with that. Brethren, the history is confusing. Even to those of us who heard a lot about the subject at a young age. The Dennis brethren, for example, I have no idea whether they left us or we left them. Ditto the Reformed Sanctified and the Bird brethren. Though I think that the Sabbath observation was involved in that one. And he goes on. Now, you may perceive a little tongue-in-cheek, and yet, that, I suggest, doesn't miss the mark much. It's amazing how, in reasoning with one another, we become so unreasonable sometimes. I have to say sometimes, because I'm always reasonable. It's only in retrospect that I see that maybe I've said some rash things. But what about the the subject. What about the topic, which is a very serious and a very thrilling one, I think? Provoke one another. In fact, literally, if I can read it from the King James, it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke." The problem with quoting only half a verse is almost as bad as misquoting it, isn't it? It's one of my favorite paraphrases of the Revelation of the 22nd chapter, is, "He that is ignorant, let him remain ignorant still." It doesn't quite say that, but it's nice to quote. Nor does it really quite say this. In fact, the word provoke, I think, is an excellent translation, but in that context, it sort of sets up some bad vibrations, and we might get the wrong idea. In fact, we might finish that, if the pen works, by saying, "Let us consider one another to provoke to love." I don't know if you can even read this back there. "And good work." Pen's running out of ink. But it still remains a question. Perhaps the question is a little different, not how to provoke, because we've already discovered that. I suggest, since we were siblings, if we had any sibling rivalry, I certainly did, I learned very quickly how to provoke my brothers and sisters, and we became very expert at it at an early age. And to a certain extent, we've never lost that talent. In fact, I'll make mention of it ahead of the game, but I think it's appropriate. Sometimes we deliberately provoke, thinking that perhaps we will humble our brethren. I'm serious. We actually have that marvelous good motive. Most of the time, however, I suggest we provoke because we have a clear picture of the correct answer, and they're obviously befuddled. But how do we provoke to love? How do you provoke somebody to love? Isn't that a contradiction of terms in our language? Paul, let me refer you to the Acts of the Apostles in two passages where I think, although it is not the word provoke in this particular text, but it's an appropriate context because it does have it a little later. 17th chapter in the second verse, we read that Paul went in, as was his custom, and for 3 weeks he argued with them from the Scriptures. I believe the King James says reason. Well, as I've said, reason is not always reasonable, but it does begin to appropriately talk about this concept. It does mean argue, it does mean reason, it means even more than that. It is the word essentially for paroxysm. And it means to cause what? A fit. It means to cause convulsions or spasm. To reason in itself is wonderful. In fact, it's the word, interesting, just as a sideline, it's the appropriate term which is used by anybody in arguing a case when they become very heated. For example, the Apostle Paul, when he argues with Barnabas, go back to the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostle, and in the great breach which they have in the 39th verse. "And there arose a," my translation says, "a," and I think yours is about the same, "there arose a sharp contention, so that they were separated from each other." Now, I'd like to be able to tell you that that really doesn't mean sharp contention. It means a small disagreement. But what in fact it means is a heated argument. They got agitated. The word is almost always used in a negative context, but now it is used in a context to show that when Paul and Barnabas disagreed, they did what sometimes Christadelphians do, and they got hopping mad about it. As we said, it is the word which means to have a convulsion, a sudden attack. In terms of the Scripture, it's perhaps a little bit more precise to say it is to have a sharp disagreement, which can be very agitated. to be deeply irritated or aroused. So when Paul and Barnabas left each other, it was not a happy day. The marvelous thing about Paul and Barnabas is that all the rest of the record of Scripture, they say nothing, or at least what the information we have, there are nice things said about one another. They feel right about one another. So they were the kind that evidently could have this heated argument, could provoke one another, and it came out love and good works, and that's what hopefully should happen with us. Again, in the 17th chapter, I said the example in the 16th verse. Now, while Paul was waiting for the brethren in Athens, remember he sent Timothy and Silas back to Thessalonica and to Berea. So while he was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was full of idols. Now again, that word means he was boiling. He was developing an ulcer inside of him. And the reason I really want to impress you with this is that if we are supposed to provoke one another, it's not pat each other in the back. It's not to say everything is fine, because it's not fine. It means in the most exciting way to stimulate one another. And that's what Peter's translation said. I think it's an excellent translation of that idea. It means to stimulate one another. And when you stimulate somebody, you excite them, hopefully. Really excite them. So if we stimulate one another to love and good works, we're doing it by how? By example, by word, by every means possible. We are excited and we want to excite them. It is a related idea, I think, almost to zeal. Be ready at all times to give an answer to him that asks the reason of the hope that lies within you, says Peter. But then he follows and says, but do it with meekness and fear. So be ready. Be bold enough to give the reason of the hope that lies within you. And remember now, this is in the context of your brothers and sisters. But more than that, be ready at all times. Not simply be ready to look it up, but be ready at all times to jump in and help. If I want to emphasize anything, and I sound like beating a dead horse, it is that we need one another. Brother Don said it very beautifully today. The Creator himself is described as being incomplete with just the male element. He made them one, male and female. The disciples were inadequate to go out one by one, and the Lord sent them out two by two. Why? Not because they got along with each other. They practically had fist fights. But because it was necessary to develop character, to sharpen one another, to help one another. And this, I think, is getting very much at the concept and the idea of working one with another. Provoke actually means to sharpen. I used to do this, and I'm sure I wasn't perceived as a nice guy. Poor brother that I used to live with, come home tired, ready for a little something to eat. And I'd say, first thing as he walked in the door, what was the name of Jonah's father? What was the name of Jonah's father? Where did he come from? Oh, and another one. Yeah, what was the name of the three sons of Isaiah in order? Well, this is a swell way to develop an ulcer before dinner. But I want you to think about that now. What was the name of Jonah's father, and where did he come from? We can literally provoke one another by talking about the Scriptures to one another, by asking questions. Like little kids. Why is the sky blue? But on biblical subjects. And it's healthy. It's not terribly important who the name of Jonah's father is. In fact, it's probably not very important at all. I just want you to sit there and worry about it. One of my favorite passages, I remember brother quoting it to me many years ago in a very nice context, a letter that I've always appreciated. He cited two scriptures from the Proverbs as good news from as far as, as snow on a very cold of snow on a very hot day. I'm really blowing the quote So it's good news from a far country. Thank you for finishing that. The other passage that he quoted, I want you to take a look at right now. It's found in the Proverbs, the 27th chapter, and the 17th verse. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And I know it's a little bit different in the King James, but it's obviously the idea. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I think in the best sense of asking who Jonah's father is, we can do that with one another. We can ask about tough questions that we either have the answers or don't have. It doesn't really make any difference. It is this stimulation of one another. Athletes do it when they train with one another, when they play basketball one-on-one. It's not the idea of who got the most buckets. That doesn't really matter. They're sharpening one another for that which is their living. We are sharpening one another, or should be, for that which is our life. Not because it makes any difference whether we know who Jonah's father was, but it does make a difference that our minds are transformed, as our brother said to us this morning. That's the only thing that matters. The only thing. We are to sharpen one another. There's one other passage I would like to refer you to. It's found in Paul's last advice. Well, in fact, two passages on this particular subject. Proverbs 15, verse 23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man. And a word in season, how good it is. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man. And a word in season, how good it is. Now, we can all testify to that. Somebody who has said something to us, either a reproof, a correction, or instruction, or a word of kindness, at the appropriate time, it has been a tremendous thing. It has changed our lives. A word in season, how good it is. Paul, I think, makes reference to this passage and really expands on the point when he, in his final advice to Timothy, found in the fourth chapter of his second letter to Timothy, and there he says, you remember as he begins, I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and kingdom, preach the word, be urgent. I think the King James says instant. I'm not sure exactly what instant means. The Greek certainly means be present, be on top of things, be there when it counts. Be urgent in season and out of season. There is no time when it's not appropriate to talk about the things of God. That is one way in which we can productively provoke one another. We stir one another up. As I've already said, and I don't want to belabor it, sometimes we stir one another up to anger, and that is not the appropriate form of the concept. Sometimes we think by getting at them at the appropriate time, we can keep them from getting a swelled head. And I'm not frankly sure how we should go about that, but I don't think it's up to us. I think it's rather that's better left to prayer. But by stirring up, I think it means, by means any way possible. And again, I'd like to use the example of an athlete, although really we're more than team members. We belong to the same family. And if one member of our family is having trouble, I suggest we best rally around them. Benjamin Franklin is reputed to have said, gentlemen, we best hang together or we shall certainly hang separately. That is very true with us, brothers and sisters. John Donne may have been off in all respects, but he was right when he said, no man is an island. We are a family. And it is terribly important to stir one another up, to join in fellowship, to leave and to cleave. Two are better than one because they have a reward, says the writer of the Proverbs. Not only do they keep each other warm, but if you're like me, my conversation is not very stimulating by myself. I do much better when I'm with somebody else. Have you ever heard somebody talking to themselves after a while? They're pretty dull stuff. It's marvelous when you can get a good conversation going between two people and you have that fruitful interchange of thought and stimulus. So we get Jack gets to be a pretty dull boy by himself with his own profound thoughts. As Pooh Bear said, I thought I had a big think, but maybe I don't. But sometimes by the interchange of ideas, we can alter that big think and come up with some pretty exciting stimulus. We are to encourage one another. The whole idea of an exhortation, and I hope you know this, if you don't, it's really a valuable thing. The whole idea of an exhortation is not to sit up here and go boom like that and point at you bad guys and you must reform. The whole meaning of the word exhort is to encourage. To encourage. It's a wonderfully positive thing. If there's anything the scriptures tell us is that we have every reason to rejoice. It is not impossible. The world may be falling apart. Our society may be falling apart. We may be falling apart physically, mentally, every other way. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Therefore, let us encourage one another. And so much more as we see that day approaching. Finally, and this is maybe the hardest, but it certainly is a part of provoking one another, we must admonish one another. There are times, and it's the most difficult thing that we probably ever have to do, and that is correct our brother. It's difficult enough to correct our children. I haven't been successful. Sometimes it feels very frustrating, and you wonder, in fact, I guess you begin to do the whole cyclical thing, am I out of step? But there are times when it is essential that we admonish one another, and the difficulty and the challenge for us is, as Peter said, is to do it with meekness and fear. Do it with a sense of hoping for the best, that brother or sister who is in trouble changes. Some of you here can probably testify to the fact that a word in season or out of season, but a word of admonishment to you has changed the course of your life. Thanks be to God. It is the most difficult and the most challenging thing we have to do, and yet it is also essential. For the Word of God is not only sharper than a two-edged sword, but it is valuable for correcting, for instructing, for reproving, as well as encouraging others about the Creator and His purpose. How can we provoke positively? How can we do this in a positive way? By doing it consistently. By coming to all of the events. By talking. By going out of our way to talk with those that we don't know. And of course, as I say this, I feel guilty, and perhaps some of you I have not talked with you. But we are a family. We should never forget it. I think one of the most valuable things I hope I learned very early, and I hope I never forget, is that you, all of you, have been called by God. He considers you my brothers and sisters. Can I do any less? Brethren, we are God's children. We can provoke positively then by loving each other, by recognition of the fact that God has first loved us. I would like you to look again at the context of Hebrews 10, because I think that really says it in a very succinct fashion. Beginning at verse 25, reading from the RSV, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now the three key words there, I don't think I have to even emphasize, appear to be consider one another, and it means more than simply look at one another or say hi. It really means to see, to observe, to perceive. Therefore, to think about. To provoke, as we said, that's a very strong word, which means to stimulate, to stir up. And finally, to encourage, to exhort one another. Not simply from the platform, but for sister to exhort sister. For brother, sister, and sister, brother. In every way, to encourage one another. Finally, in conclusion, I would like to just take a brief look at a passage from Isaiah, the 49th chapter. In the servant Psalms, Messiah is addressed. Listen to me, O coastlands, and hearken, you peoples from afar. Isaiah 49, verse 1. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, He named my name, Jesus. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand, He hid me. The two-edged sword, which we later find in the Apocalypse, I suggest has its roots in the prophet. And it doesn't necessarily mean the ancient two-edged sword which people were hewed up, including Agag, but it definitely is related to this marvelous ability to speak a word in season. A word of healing, a word of admonishment, a word of correction, instruction, and righteousness. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand, He hid me. He made me a polished arrow, in the quiver He hid me away. And He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I've labored in vain. I've spent out my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, and to lead Israel, and that Israel might be gathered to Him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Brothers and sisters, that salvation has reached us. Rejoice in it. Encourage one another. So much more as we see this wonderful day approaching.